Hey everyone, I'm glad we're meeting together today, and I'm looking forward to this message series that we're launching. You know, the last several months, since last March, there have been a lot of things that have changed. We've had our work habits have changed, how we relate to each other. There have been all kind of limitations. Some of us have done better than others with it, but it's not been easy. And one thing that happens if we're not careful is that when difficulty comes, we can jettison those things that are really important to us. I'll give you an example. Some people were thrown off their kind of normal routine about eating and exercise. And so what happens is, if I'm not careful, I can find myself into habits that can really hurt or derail me. We see this in all kind of ways. I just picked exercise as a simple example, but you get what I'm talking about. So it's really important, especially when things around us are changing, that we hang on to those things that are absolutely essential for us, things that are bedrock for us. So we're looking at this series as a way for us to remember who we are as a church. What does God want for us? What has He given to us? And these things that are principles for us that never change. There's an old adage, it says, methods are many, principles are few. Methods may change, but principles never do. So we want to hang on to these things that the Bible teaches us, because we're going to find that if we do, we will be able to thrive no matter what the circumstances are. Let me explain this. I'm going to give a preamble and then we'll get into the message. But Jesus taught about this one time in Matthew. He said this, he goes, "Anyone who listens to my teaching and follows it is wise, like a person who builds a house on solid rock. Though the rain comes in torrents and the floodwaters rise and the winds beat against the house, it will not collapse because it's built on bedrock. But anyone who hears my teaching and ignores it is foolish, like a person who builds a house on sand. When the rains and floods come and the winds beat against that house, it'll collapse with a mighty crash. This is true whether it's of individuals, whether it's families, communities, even countries." Jesus is saying, if you will listen to my teaching, and he's not saying just listen to it, it's listen and obey. And it's all of his teaching. It's not just the parts that we're comfortable with. You know, it's easy for us to pick and choose, but Jesus didn't give us that option. It's all of his teaching. And he doesn't want us to just follow when it's convenient. He wants us to hear what he says, to wrap our lives around what he says, and to genuinely follow. That's what followers do. They follow the lead of their leader. So we want to look at that. And let me give you just a couple things to hang on to. One is, everything Jesus taught us is true and right. And he validated that when he was resurrected from the dead. He said he was God. He said that what he said was true. He was the way, the truth, and the life. And he underscored that clearly when he was raised from the dead. He has the right to tell us what is true and right. He's our creator. And he has proven not only is what he says true, but everything he says is good and good for us. And if we ignore what he says, and we have the choice. We can either, in this analogy, build our house on the rock or on the sand, but we can't ignore the consequences of our choices. He never promised that if we follow him, everything's going to go smooth, or it's just going to get nicer and easier and better. He basically said this, is that when the rains and storm and torrents and all that come, you will be able to withstand. So he's saying that, look, I'm preparing you to live in the real world. It's a broken world where dangerous things happen, but you will not be alone if you trust and follow me. Let me show you a couple of pictures here. This is a picture from Mexico Beach, Florida. In 2018, Hurricane Michael came by and devastated that area. In fact, where you see this house in this big scope, you're seeing that there's one house that stood. This other picture is a little bit more of a close-up of this house. And it's interesting how well this illustrates what Jesus was teaching about building on the rock or the sand. The other houses were built to the local code, more than likely. I don't know how old the houses were, but the code wasn't It wasn't built with this kind of hurricane in mind in that area. The house that stood, though, is very, very interesting. The owners built way beyond what the minimum code required. It cost basically twice per square foot what normal construction in the Mexico Beach area cost. It not only cost them a lot of money to build that way, their pilings go 40 feet deep. But not only did it cost them more in money, but it cost them a lot more in time. And there were a few things they didn't have on their house because it would not have been wise. It's what Jesus is telling you and me is that he wants us to build our lives on what he says is right and true. That we take his teaching, we see what the Bible says, and we make that our guide and our go-to. The Bible is our owner's manual. We don't go in, again, not picking and choosing, but just saying, I'm going to take it as it is. And when you and I do, we will see the results of it, and the results will be good. We'll be able to withstand whatever comes our way. So in this series, we're going to look at five core values that we should build our lives on as we follow Jesus. If we follow these, we will find the benefit of it. If we ignore them or if we try to twist them in any way, there'll be a price paid both by us and by those around us. And Jesus, these commands or these core values we'll be looking at in the heart attitudes later, they all flow from something Jesus said in John 13. He said this, so now I'm giving you a new commandment. Notice this isn't a suggestion or a big idea or something to ponder on. It's a commandment. Love each other. Just as I have loved you, you should love each other. Your love for one another will prove to the world that you are my disciples. Not our big words, not our bumper stickers, not our slogans. But if we have a commandment to love each other, and we have a commandment to do it the way Jesus loves us, and then we're to do this in a way that the world will see it and have a better idea of who Jesus is as a result. So let's dig into these core values. The first one here is connected people grow. This is an essential in being a follower of Jesus is that I am now part of his family. Listen to this, 1 Corinthians 12. All of you together are Christ's body, and each of you is a part of it. That means that everyone who accepts Jesus Christ as their Savior and leader immediately become part of God's family. Using a physical analogy here, he's saying that you've now become part of Jesus' body. He's the head. He guides and directs everything that goes on. The body needs to listen to him and coordinate their efforts together. And he wants all of us to work together under his leadership. We have all surrendered to his leadership. Here it says, all of you together are Christ's body. That means all. It doesn't mean just people that are like me or people that I like. It means that everyone that has become a follower of Jesus is now part of the body, and we're equal members of that body, and we have equal value and importance. And we need to learn to appreciate all like Jesus does. And I'll tell you, now is the time to do it. You know, there's going to be a time when history wraps up, we'll all be in heaven, and we're going to all be together. And it could be surprising who your roommate will be. We need to understand this, that Jesus' family is big. His body is big and has all different kinds of people that are connected to it. And we need to work hard to see each other like Jesus does, to value each other the way he does, and to learn to kind of understand each other and to choose to get along well. Right now in our country, we see more division than we have in so long. There's an ugliness, there's a us versus them, there's my, no longer do I have an opponent politically, they're my enemy. And the church is positioned to where we could show a positive, healthy example of what Jesus has taught. We need to do that. And our love for each other, as Jesus said, will prove to the world that we're his disciples. So there's a lot at stake, a lot we need to work at. Again, all these core values will fit into this, and you'll see it as we go along. But let's go a little further with this idea of connected people grow. Jesus, as the head, does this. It says this in Ephesians 4. He makes the whole body fit together perfectly. As each part does its own special work, it helps the other parts grow so that the whole body is healthy and growing and full of love. I'm going to read this again. Jesus, when we follow his lead, he makes the whole body fit together perfectly. As each part does its own special work, it helps the other parts grow so that the whole body is healthy and growing and full of love. This is what we need to be striving for, not something less than this. This is a mandate we've been given. Each of us need to help each other, and we all play a part in growing and helping others grow and to mature and develop in our faith and in our practice. That's why being vitally connected to a specific local church is so, so important. That's why building relationships in that church you're connected to is so important. That's why being part of a small group and on different ministry teams and having a close group of friends that you can be honest and real with and they can be with you, that's why it is so important. I'm afraid that what has happened and what is happening has even been growing more during the COVID pandemic has been followers of Jesus going AWOL. They have decided that I'll dabble, I'll try different things, but you know, life's been kind of disrupted. I can't really go the way I want to. The online thing, I don't like it. And so what happens is just kind of sliding away. Even when we, before everything was virtual, people were just hitting around, hopping around churches, dabbling at their faith. And there is, I can't say it any more strongly. Find a good church. Get connected. Don't dabble. Don't just hunt and peck and just skip around. That life is too precious and too short. We need to be vitally connected with and for each other. Here's a statement I want you to chew on a little bit. Instead of being independent or codependent, instead of being independent or codependent, God wants us to be interdependent. Now, you've got some people that are independent. Those are the ones that go AWOL. They're just out looking for whatever feels good at the moment, whatever kind of hits them well. Their feelings and interests and passions are the most important thing. You've got others that are codependent. They get connected somewhere so they can micromanage and control other people. Both this independence and the codependence are way out of line. And they're not what God wants for you and me. What he wants us to be, and you see this in the verses we've read, is he wants us to be interdependent. We carry our personal responsibilities, absolutely. But we do it in the context of learning from and helping others in the process. This is what a healthy body does. We've seen recently what happens when independence takes root, and it can hurt. We've got some sports teams where someone independently decided, oh, I don't need to worry about the COVID protocols. And they go out, they end up getting infected, they come back and infect others. Or where people just don't show up for practice, or where they decide they're just going to do what they want to do. God wants you and I to be vitally connected with each other. And that's going to be uncomfortable at times. It's going to be difficult at times. It's going to be inconvenient. But this is what he's called us to. Remember this thing he said, if you build your life on the bedrock, you'll be able to withstand whatever comes. And that bedrock is whatever Jesus teaches you and me. It's a relationship built on him and his teaching. And he said his church is so, so valuable. And he wants every one of us, once we become part of his family, to be connected locally to the degree we can to a local congregation. If that means you do it virtually, that's fine. But to be connected. There's another aspect of all this, of this connected people grow. And there's a phrase in the Old Testament in Proverbs that I love. Many of you know it. And it says, as iron sharpens iron, so a friend sharpens a friend. We've got a bunch of knives here at our house, and one of the things I do, every time I use one of these knives, we've got, I don't know, 7 or 8 of them, I'll take them and I'll take out the honing rod, and I'll do this to keep them sharp. Now, the thing about the honing rod is it's creating friction. The only way this will get sharp is not if I just, you know, cut butter with it, or if I just use it and set it aside. No, I've got to constantly resharpen it. And the honing rod creates friction, but that friction creates a benefit. Our relationships together can do that, where there are going to be times when we're going to butt heads about things, or we're going to have difficulty, we're going to have disagreements, and we need to learn how to do that well. Again, our country is doing a lousy job of that. The church should be a model of how can we disagree without being disagreeable? How can we have differences without those differences having to divide us? How can we see things differently yet love each other enough to be willing to listen and understand each other? This is what Jesus wants you and I to do. I will say this though, back to the knife analogy in the house. Be really careful. These have become Becky's great friend, because when I get the knives really sharp, sometimes she forgets, she's assuming they're dull. But iron sharpens iron. So one friend sharpens another friend. We have a mutual responsibility for and with each other. And we want to do this well. I want to have one more phrase that I'd like to get you to chew on too as you think about this week. Good intentions plus good connections, good relational connections, lead to good results. I'll give you a couple of examples in this. I used exercise earlier, but you know, there are a lot of people that have good intentions. They understand I need to exercise. I should get my heart rate up to a certain amount. I need to have so many minutes of exercise per week. But those good intentions, if they're not coupled with some good connections or some accountability or some partners, many times nothing happens. Marriage. Almost every one of us that got married, we exchanged vows and we had good intentions. But without some support, without some people that come alongside and help us, people that will point out where we're doing well or where we're faltering, we may not get the good results. Driving. I've used this before. I love driving alone, but I'm a much better driver when I have someone in the car with me, because they help me see things I might miss. Good intentions plus good connections, good relational connections will lead to good results. This is a picture of Jesus' church. I have another story I want to tell you. And I'll try my best not to tear up during this. I may not be successful, but this week, December 8, I and many of us lost a dear friend, Ken Wood. Ken fought valiantly and courageously against an aggressive brain cancer. Alongside him was his wife, Jasmine, his sons, Cameron and Tyler. Ken was a young man in his early 40s, but he ended up not winning the battle against the cancer. He passed away peacefully in his home. But Ken left an example of how this idea of connected people grow works. I was talking to his mother-in-law a couple days ago, and she made a statement that has just stuck with me. She said, when Ken and the family moved up here from the South, this is, I don't know, 10, 12 years ago, that Ken really blossomed. She goes, he was always a good guy, but something changed when he moved up here. Now, I don't know all the stories on it, but I did meet Ken right when they moved up here. And what I can tell you is this, is that Ken and his family, they jumped in to being connected. They looked for churches. They found, fortunately for us, they found New Hope. And Ken jumped in full bore. There was no hesitancy. You know, Ken was a hard worker in his career. His co-workers and all loved him. He was involved in the community, whether it was scouting or coaching and a bunch of other ways. And in our church, Boy, he was fully there. He served in all kind of different ways. Ways behind the scenes. I remember how many times he was doing the camera operating up in the production room where none of you would have even seen that. He looked for ways where he could serve and help. He was involved with Financial Peace University, and then he began teaching that and just did a phenomenal job. He's helped hundreds of people deal with debt and financial issues in their life. Along the way, he was asked to be part of New Hope's leadership team. In fact, this year he's been the chairman of that team. But one of the areas that I especially am just deeply grateful for Ken is his involvement in the small group that I'm part of. It would have been easy for him when this cancer hit to kind of stay away and to avoid the questions or the scrutiny or the difficulty it was, but he stayed connected with us and let us know what was going on. We got to hear of when there was success, when it looked like some of the protocols were working and the cancer was abating, and then when it would come back and all this. And Ken was very honest. He was very real. He didn't try to pretend that he had it all together. He allowed us to be part of him as he was struggling with his faith and growing in it. And we all benefited from that too. Ken's legacy was that his life really was built on bedrock. And there were storms that came. There were some difficulties that came, and he didn't want to leave his wife and his sons. But he held on to Jesus all the way through, and just watching him do this and watching him do it with courage and honesty and humility and tenacity. I'm a better man because of Ken. I think our church, I think some of our guys helped him. There's a mutuality to this thing about connected people grow. It breaks my heart when I see people that have made choices along the way to just live independently and to treat church and being connected in a church, not just attending, but connected as an option. And I know many people now have just kind of decided it's, you know, I got other priorities. I don't want to give my time or my money or my energy to the church. But I'm going to tell you, there has never been a time we've been needed more for each other and for a watching world. Connected people grow not just for their own benefit, but for the benefit of everyone and to a lost world that's watching. So I just want to encourage you as you think about this message this week, as you pray about where you are. There's a take-home sheet. I hope you will get that take-home sheet and really use it. If you're watching this with someone else or as a family, would you all take some time after this message and talk about some of this together? If you're connected, what does that look like? And what have you seen God do in you being vitally connected with others in the church? If you're not, why? What is it that you could do? What is a step you could take to being more connected and to really build your life the way Jesus has asked us to? Remember, he said, love one another as I have loved you. Not love one another while it's convenient or comfortable. You know, Jesus, his love for us meant that he sacrificed his life for us. So I just want to ask you to take some time, think about this week. And as you do, recognize too that there is a wide audience watching you and me. What are we showing them? Are we giving them a taste of something good, something real, or are we missing the opportunities that we have? I'm grateful that we could meet together and start this series. I hope you'll join in with us and invite some others to do the same thing. We're going to go through our five core values, and then we'll be looking at New Hope's heart attitudes. Again, these are bedrock things for us. And we want our lives for however long we have here on planet Earth. We want to leave a legacy that's good and honorable and real. Thanks a bunch. Hang in there. Look forward to talking to you soon. Bye-bye.
Hi, New Hope family. I'm Sarah, and I've been going to this church for over 5 years now. Something that's always made New Hope feel like home for me is the people. And not just seeing the faces on Sundays, but going to things like Takeover and The Landing. These groups offered a place for me to make deep connections within the church and make friends that can grow with me in my faith. If you don't already, I highly recommend you check out one of the groups this church has to offer. If you're in middle school or high school, I'd love to see your face at Takeover or The Landing. But if you're an adult, there's plenty of great small group options for you to check out. Don't be afraid to take advantage of these resources because they're here for you. Please pray with me. Dear God, I thank you that you give us each other here at this church. I thank you that you give us the capability to grow together in our faith so that we don't have to do it alone. Just please, if anyone here has any fears about reaching out in this church, take that away from them. Please show them the benefits of working with other people. Just please be with us and help us understand that this church and the people here can be the thing that grounds us during times of uncertainty. We know that this church is here for us, so please give us that relief. Thank you that you are here for us every single day of the week, and just please help us to understand that other people are here for us too. I just pray that you continue to work in our lives and you continue to strengthen us every day. We love you and praise you. In Jesus' name, amen.